I think that sometimes sheep get a bad rap. I mean, Deacon Katie talked about it this morning. And sometimes I know you've heard people use the word sheep as an insult. You've heard someone say something like, those people are like a bunch of dumb sheep following the wrong thing, right? If I asked you to name the 10 most intelligent animals you know, you probably would not have put sheep on the list. I've even used a story about sheep in a sermon in the past about how supposedly if a flock of sheep is going down a path and there's a branch across the path which the sheep have to jump over, if while the flock is still passing and someone removes the branch, the rest of the sheep will still jump at that same spot even though there's nothing there to jump over. Maybe you've heard that one. It's told to imply that sheep are so dumb they have to have someone to take care of them. Just like we need Jesus to take care of us. But here's the thing. First, I'm not sure if that story is even true. So many of the stories that get passed around are not. And secondly, it's not actually true that sheep are dumb. A while back, I read a book titled, Are We Smart Enough to Know How Smart Animals Are? By a primatologist at Emory University. And the whole book is about how we have tended to assume animals are not smart to make ourselves feel better. Turns out that in the past, many of the experiments designed to test animals' intelligence have been flawed because of the assumption that the animals being tested weren't smart. So scientists never question the results. But in recent years, a lot of newer studies, more carefully designed to allow the animals to show their intelligence, have proved that the old research was just wrong. Now, I'm not saying that sheep can do calculus or solve puzzles or open gate latches, but that doesn't mean they're dumb. It means those are not things sheep need to know how to do. When it comes to important sheep tasks, it turns out they're very intelligent. For example, when trained to push a button to get a treat, when they see a photograph of a face of another sheep in their flock, they are very quick to learn to push the button when they see a sheep from their own flock and not when they see a sheep that they've never seen before. And it turns out they can remember dozens and dozens, maybe even more than 100 faces. They know every face of every sheep in the flock so that when they're mixed in with other sheep faces, they can easily tell them apart. Now, what's remarkable about that is that if you've ever been around sheep, I have just a bit, to most people, every sheep looks just alike. Which means perhaps from the sheep's perspective, we are the ones who are dumb. But here's the point. They're intelligent at doing what sheep need to be intelligent about. And what is that? Being part of a flock. Knowing one another. Sticking together. So that when one in the flock finds some good food, they all find the food. When one runs from danger, they all run from danger without even knowing what the danger was. Maybe that old story about jumping in the spot where the other sheep jumped, even when there's nothing left to jump over, without wasting time to reflect on whether it's necessary or not, maybe that's a smart thing when it comes to being a good sheep. And all of that now brings us back to today's reading. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, Jesus is certainly not saying, I'm your shepherd because you're dumb. Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep because I care for them. Not everyone cares for the sheep. Some want to do the sheep harm, but I do care for the sheep, even to the point of giving my life to protect them. The point which John is telling us Jesus made is that he is a good shepherd, a great shepherd, an awesome shepherd, because he is willing to do whatever it takes to care for the people he has been given to care for, even to the point of sacrificing himself for their sake. It really doesn't have much to say about the character of the sheep. Christ loves us because we've been given to him to care for. That's the good news. It's pretty clear why this passage is assigned as one of the Easter season texts as we go through this 50 days of Easter. It reminds us Jesus was willing to go to the cross on account of our sinfulness in order to free us from the power of fear and death. Christ lays down his own life to bring us into God's new reality of mercy, forgiveness, peace, and life that cannot be ended by death. But I don't know if you noticed, Jesus didn't stop there. He has one more thing to say in this passage about sheep. He continues saying, I also have other sheep. And part of my work is to bring together the different flocks. This is Jesus' work, gathering flocks, bringing them together into one in God. And if this is Jesus' work and we are followers, disciples of Jesus, doers of what he does, then this is also what we're meant to be about. Bringing together the scattered flocks, bridging the divisions, reaching out to those who are not in the flock which we happen to be a part of, ultimately even laying down our lives for others as part of that work. This is also good news. Not only does Jesus lay down his life for us, not only does he gift us with hope and peace and joy, mercy, forgiveness, new life in God's reign, in God's kingdom, not only does he draw us into the flock, he also empowers us to live lives of sharing this hope and peace and joy and mercy, forgiveness, and new life with others. Not just those in our own group, but those far and wide. Jesus invites us to participate in his work of loving others and serving others. These are two common ways that we talk about discipleship in Jesus. But I think we're being called to something even beyond. I mean, all that we do is summed up as loving and serving, but maybe we need to get more specific. What does that look like? Well, as I was thinking about it, I think that it looks like sending youth to a youth gathering. Thank you again for your generosity. They'll learn and grow and have loads of amazing fun. But not only that, not only are we sending youth there, we're sending them also to serve with others at the dwelling in Winston-Salem, so that in giving of themselves in serving, they grow in their ability to see that these others at the dwelling who are from a very different flock, a flock mostly made up of people who've had difficult lives, are impoverished, without homes, struggling, they grow in their ability to see that these others from a very different flock are really also part of their own flock. All one community of faith that God is bringing together in Jesus. I think about that it means giving of what we have to help pay for medical care for people who don't have the same ability we have to pay for the care they need. We're going to present our check for the Good Neighbor Clinic at the second service today. I think it means driving a member to, I think it means a member driving an impoverished neighbor to a dental appointment, even though that neighbor sometimes tries our patients. I think it means helping a community service organization by letting them make copies on our machine for cost so they don't have to pay five times as much at the coffee shop for the materials they need to advertise the work they're doing to help people in our community with their financial struggles. I think it means having food on the floor in the sanctuary this morning. You may have noticed some, because there were, I don't know how many people, but there were 50 or 60 cars in the parking lot last night as AA held a monthly community gathering with covered dish dinner. I think it means hosting egg hunts and cookouts and pumpkin carvings for young people who've had to leave their homes because of horrible family situations, sharing through our actions that God does indeed care about them. I think it means working on putting together a trip to Selma and Montgomery along with members of other local historically black congregations in order to have a chance to learn more about the history of racism and oppression. That's something we're working on that you'll be hearing more about soon. Why? Because it shows our neighbors who are from a different flock that we care. That we're committed to justice and bridging divides, building relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ whose lives are different than ours, often simply because their skin's a different color. I think loving and serving others, laying down our lives for others as Jesus did, means a lot of things that we are doing as the sheep of the St. John's flock. And it means a whole lot more things that we haven't yet done. It means things that we don't even yet know we're going to be called to do. But brothers and sisters, this is the good news. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for us. We have been made a part of his body, his family, nourished with his own flesh and blood, empowered by his spirit, so that we might join him indeed in doing his work with him, so that we might multiply our joy as our flock and other flocks as yet ungathered, as we all together are joined into the body of Christ, into the presence of God, into the life of Jesus. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.